Let me get this here, a little bit of technology running up here today. It's great to see everybody. We got a good group here today. Still a little unbalanced and leaning more to the right side of me up here today, but that's okay. Amen. Right wingers, huh? All right. I'm not going to get on that one. Amen. But it's good to be here today. We've got a great thing in store for us right here. We're fixing to have a testimony now. Rodney Ashley is going to come and give his testimony. And just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Rodney was about as lost as a person could be. Amen. But he found the master. Amen. And that's what it's about, is finding Jesus. Doesn't matter when you find him. The important thing is finding him. Amen. And I'm anxious to hear his testimony. I know he's a little nervous, but hey, I told him, I was like, you know, just do what the Lord's leading you to do. Just share with us, because I guarantee you one thing, there's probably somebody here today. You see, that's the way the Lord works. He always brings into our midst people that need to hear something at the right time. And I really believe that. I mean, some awesome things have happened. We're going to be baptizing him on the first Sunday in November, along with another person as well, Jamie, that came in back there. And God's just doing some great things. I'm just excited to be along for the ride. Amen. And it's nothing that I've done or anybody else has done. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. And when the Holy Spirit's at work, great things are going to happen. Amen. If we'll be submissive to his will. Amen. So without further ado, Rodney, come up and share your testimony. Let's make him welcome this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I really wasn't nervous this morning too. These lovely folks right here showed up. So now, I'm a little nervous now. But for God so loved the world that he truly saved a wretch like me. I'm so undeserving of God's love. I have turned my back on him time and time again in my life. Yet his love for me is steadfast. Did he not leave the 99 sheep and go search of the one?
That's right.
Trust me, I am that one. I was raised in a very abusive home. My stepfather was a very abusive man. Really bad. I'd say verbally abusive and not only physical too. But the physical part ain't that bad, because bruises and all that heals. The verbal part is probably the worst. When I was 13 years old, my mama finally actually divorced him. And unfortunately, after that, she became an alcoholic. So we were homeless for a while. And at about the age of, I'd say, 15 years old, I did my first line of cocaine. Never would have thought at that age that would have ever happened to me. And at 15, for the next probably 20 years, it was just an absolute battle every single day. I actually got to meet the love of my life, which was my kid's mom. We got married at the young age of 17, and then my beautiful daughter was born not too long after that. And she was the easiest kid you ever want to see. I always thought when she was born, she actually was not alive when she came into this world. Her umbilical cord had wrapped around her neck, and she was not here. So when she started crying, that was the only time I ever heard Adriana cry, was when she got smacked on the hiney to get her to come back. So when that happened, I was like, well, if this is this easy, this is no problem. I can have a bunch more kids after this. And then Austin and Dylan come along. So they're great kids too, but oh man. Woo! One was either crying, one was asleep. Both of them were crying, or they was never ever asleep all at the same time. And at the probably at 26 or 27, after about 10 years, she finally had enough of my addiction. I had done took over me by then, and she divorced my sorry behind. And that's when I actually lost my kids. We actually had a house and a little piece of land, a few cars, all that good stuff, and every bit of it got lost to that, including them. And I was 28. I went to jail for about a month and a half for actually child support. And then after that, I got out, tried to do better, but it wasn't working. It's a horrible, horrible thing. It really is to be in the depths of that. It's horrible. Well, at the age of 31, to this week actually, it marks my mother's 4-year anniversary that she has been gone. I got introduced to meth. And I did my first line. I'll tell you right now, that is a whole nother different side of Satan. It absolutely just took over my life. I went from 240 pounds to probably 160 pounds within 2 or 3 weeks. And unfortunately, my daughter had done moved in with me at this time, and she actually got to witness this firsthand. And I remember the day that she pretty much had enough, because it makes you really mean, as so I have been told, that you're just not the same person. And I remember her walking out the door, and her last words to me said, "Daddy, you need help, and I love you." It's amazing how no matter what, your kids will, especially her, will always love you no matter what.
That's right.
But unfortunately, at that time, I really didn't understand that. I didn't know either, because especially for Austin and Dylan, I always knew my daughter loved me. I mean, there's something special about a father and a daughter.
That's right.
But I always thought that my sons hated me. I always did. It was a really horrible thing. So for 3 years, I was actually blessed with another son, Shooter. I'm sure all y'all know him. I was blessed to have another kid. I believe the Lord said, "You know, you are a good father. I'm just going to try to keep giving you kids until you finally wise up." Thank goodness I finally wised up. I don't want any more.
Amen.
Well, my son, Austin, I guess probably Adriana was going back telling Austin then what was probably going on, and Coach too. And he texted me, and he really was on me. He's the most truthful person I've probably ever met. I could read some text messages that will make you cry, I'm telling you. And he just told, I would keep making excuses up and making excuses why not to come to church. And this probably went on for, two or three weeks, I guess. And I guess Coach probably said it best. I was pretty much overwhelmed, I guess, just because I didn't want to walk in here an addict, I guess, just because, I mean, I just don't want people to see me like that, you know, as bad as I was. Because when I first walked in here, I was still using. I didn't want nobody seeing that. When you're an addict, you hide everything, or you try to. And you lie about what you're doing or how everything is going. Well, I come home from work one day and lay down on the couch and went to sleep. And actually had a dream, or wasn't a dream, a nightmare about the Green Reaper. And he was actually chasing me. I woke myself up screaming. And when I woke up, I ran outside, and the first person I actually called was Austin. And he didn't answer the first time, and I was scared to death. And he called me back. And I told him, you know, I was crying. I told him, "Son, I apologize," because I didn't want to leave this world with him not knowing how much I loved him. And another thing, too, I was really worried about is I didn't know where I was going to go. I was scared to death. If I died, I wasn't going to go to heaven. So I was scared to death I was going to go to hell. Can you say hell in church? Hey. Oh, I'm sorry, Coach. I didn't know. That one slipped out, Coach. I'm sorry. So when I told Austin that, I was like, "I'm ready to go to church. I'm ready to go to church." I was like, "You know, Bubba, I apologize for being such a bad father. we was crying, and we actually hung up, and he actually texted me right after that, and it was the first time that I have ever heard my kids say that, or they forgive me. And he told me, I have the text to this day, and I probably read this every morning, that he said, Daddy, he said, I forgive you for everything you ever done to me and my sister and brother, and it's time for us to start walking down the right road that God wanted us to walk down.
Yes, sir.
So, you gotta quit crying. You're gonna make me cry. But it didn't end there, because after 20 years of doing something, you just, it becomes part of you. That's what I did every morning. I'd wake up every single morning. I would do a line. I would go to work and go do a line at lunch. And to bring myself back down to where I can actually function right, I would come home and smoke marijuana, just because, you're just trying to bring yourself back to where you was at, or try to. Well, I started coming to church, and I was sitting right there, probably where Coach is right now, and I was listening, but I wasn't hearing anything, if that makes sense. 2 weeks after that, I went to a birthday party, and we were sitting there, and as what I've always done for 20 years of my life, we was getting ready to do a line, and we were drinking, and I was just sitting in the background, just waiting, and they were getting everything ready. Well, by the time I get to the front of the line, and this I have told Coach just many times, actually the night before I got saved, or the night I got saved, actually, that we get to the front of the line, and I pick up my straw, fixing to do what I've always done my whole life, and my phone goes off in my pocket. It vibrates in my pocket, which was crazy to me, because everybody that was usually texting me was standing right there with me. And it was actually Coach going, hey, buddy, I just wanted to make sure that you were okay and that you were coming to church in the morning. And at that time, I looked at my brother, and I told him, I said, I was just shocked, because how would that even happen? And I looked at my brother, and I said, brother, I can't do this anymore. I said I'm gonna go home. I want you to take me home. And he did. The next morning, Coach come pick me up. I actually didn't tell him this or the kids this until later that afternoon, later that night. And we were talking about, Coach was telling me about being saved, and he told me, he said, I ain't trying to press you, but whenever you're ready, you let me know. And I said, I was already crying in the van. I said, Coach, I'm ready. I'm ready right now.
Amen.
And I think he hit Bubba so hard it about knocked him out of the van, because he was so excited. And we got out of the van, and actually my sons were the one who saved me. I mean, the same, Austin and Dylan. That was a special moment. That was September the 18th, and Coach told me a story that he said that I was going to be saved before the end of September, and it actually did happen. And I tell you what, ever since that night that I got saved, it's been awesome. It really has. I've got my kids back in my life, which is the most amazing thing. The crazy part is when you become a believer, like especially the way I was going, and you tell people this, you can't imagine how many times I've been laughed at, which is fine.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
But I've heard a few other testimonies since I've been coming to church, and we went to the tent revival and stuff, and there was the one there too, and my daughter also. And I've learned one thing, that this road we travel is long and dusty sometimes, and a soul, it must be cleansed. And I absolutely can't wait to feel this water behind me rushing over me. I really can't.
Right.
Oh,
here comes the tears now. I would like to thank Austin. I was doing good. For not giving up on me, son.
Yes.
You saved my life. You truly did. You three are the greatest blessings I have ever had in my life. And if it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't be standing here. To coach, I texted you this the other night. There's not enough. There's thank you. Don't even start to cover it. You're absolutely the greatest man that God has ever put into my life, and we have known each other since I was about that tall, I guess. Thank you, brother. I love you, man.
I love you too.
Jesus did not come into this world to condemn it. He came into the world to save it.
Yes, amen.
Do not be deceived by the lies and men of the world. Turn away from sin and darkness and turn to the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. His truth will set you free.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
Thank y'all.
Amen.
Page 223 for our offertory hymn. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse. We'll stand as we sing 223.
So much for this day, Lord.
Yes.
Just thank you so much for the testimony we just heard.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, I'm so thankful to be a part of this church and what this church is doing, Lord. We just thank you so much for the freedom that we have to come here and worship you.
Yes.
And Lord, now that it was time to give back a portion that you so richly bless us with, Lord, I just ask that you lead us to use it to do further your word, Lord,
yes,
and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'll stand for the doxology. Fellowship song was sing He Has Made Me Glad, page 579. He Has Made Me Glad. Comes down, we'll take a few minutes and greet each other in God's love.
Good to see y'all, man. Thank you.
that I've been clean a month today.
I will. Amen. Amen. Man, I tell you what, if we didn't say another word, the word's already been spoken. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, Rodney in his excitement up here forgot to mention two important things. He has now been clean for one full month. Amen. I think that's worthy of a hand clap of praise. Amen. And also, as of Monday of this week, this past week, but I'm talking about starting back work. He got his old job back. Amen. Amen. So let's give him a round of applause for that. They actually, correct me if I'm wrong, I think his boss man said, you know what, I don't know why I'm doing this exactly, because you're about the only person I would even offer a job back to. I mean, see how the Lord works.
Yeah.
I mean, God prepares hearts and minds when they need to be prepared at the right time. And man, hey, I told him when he texted me that and he said, you know, thank you for everything you've done. I was like, look, I was just a messenger, amen. The Holy Spirit of God is what did all the convicting.
Amen.
And I just give him the praise and glory today in this house. Amen.
Amen.
And if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I thought, amen. Woo, let's get excited here today a little bit in God's house. Amen. Man, I'm so excited. I really think I could clear this pulpit and that table and go right down that aisle here in just a minute. Amen. Amen. Jeff and Ann and them are here. I might try it. Hold on a minute. Let me back up. No, I'm not going to be that bold today. Amen. Although I feel like I could. I feel like I could float over it. Amen. Guys, I want to talk to you today. And part of this came from just thinking about what Rodney's testimony was going to be and what a powerful testimony it was. Amen. About keys to a blessed life. Man, I'm going to tell you what. God's blessed you. Amen. You know what? If we don't ever get another blessing from God, if we're a born-again believer, we've got the biggest blessing we ever need in our life, and that's the guarantee that one day we're going to be there with the Father.
Amen.
I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that, amen? When we start thinking about blessings a lot of times, we're thinking about a pot of gold, you know? We're thinking about materialistic things, but I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again believer, has given you the greatest blessing you'll ever need already, amen? He's already given it to you. So you see, for us to continually think, oh, Lord, I'm not getting blessed, I'm not getting blessed. Yeah, you are blessed. If you're a born-again believer, you have been blessed. Amen. So, man, I tell you, whatever I'm going to say after that is just second nature here. Amen. Because that's the blessing. You know, we get caught up too much in thinking about, oh, I'm having this rough spell. I'm not doing well. I'm having all this trouble. Man, you are up this morning. You're in God's house. You've been blessed. Amen. You've been blessed. I want to give you four things that I believe are key things for you to live a blessed life by. So we're going to read a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word. Some of you may say, well, preacher, why do you make us stand up? Well, guess what? One day we're going to be standing in front of the King, amen?
Yeah.
We might as well get used to it, amen? So let's read a few verses beginning with verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Father God, Lord, I just ask now you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, in the next few minutes, empty me of myself, Lord, and let you flow through this message. God, it's nothing about me. But God, it's all about you and glorifying you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I believe there's four things that we've got to have and we've got to keep close to us if we want to live a blessed life. I mean, we all want to be blessed, right? Nobody wants God to just allow Satan to just throw a curse on you and just beat you down all the time, right? But sometimes we feel like that. You know why we feel like that and can't get out from under it? Because we're not doing these things in order for God to be able to bless us. You want a blessing? Be a blessing to Him. Amen? You wonder why you're not getting blessed? It's because you're probably not blessing Him. You're not giving Him the glory. You're not living your life for Him the way He wants you to. Guys, you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. We want our cake and eat it too. We want to keep a little foot over here in the world. We want God's blessing over here. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to ever happen. You got to be on fire for Him. You got to have Him first in your life. And guess what? You're going to be blessed. Amen? Because God's going to make sure that that happens. The first thing I believe we got to have is this. We got to be grounded in the Word. We got to be grounded in the Word. If we're going to be used of God to reach others, we've got to be approved workmen. Approved workmen. Look at what verse 15 says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, how do we become approved unto God? We got to study. What is it we're studying? Well, it ought not be the TV all the time. It ought not be our cell phone all the time. It needs to be the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need to be studying. I brought this to our youth this morning a little bit, and I hope I've challenged them a little bit here. You know what? We spend more time communicating with our friends on this little device right here than we spend in the Word of God. And I'm not saying that God expects us. Now, it's great if you can read hours on end in the Word every day. Don't get me wrong. But, hey, can't we squeeze out 15 or 20 minutes of our time? We sit there in our bed at night before we go to sleep. We ought to be getting grounded in God's Word. Instead, we're getting grounded in all the gossip and all the hearsay and stuff that our friends are trying to lead us into. Remember, I told you the other week that we're holding the devil right here in the palm of our hand. And I'm not saying these things are devilish. Don't get me wrong, because I use mine. I rely on mine. But guys, I'm telling you what, anything you put ahead of God has become an idol in your life. Amen? Amen. So if you want to get blessed by God, you got to get rid of these idols that are blocking His blessing. And that cell phone can be an idol. Some people worship it. You're like, preacher, go to anywhere, but just leave my cell phone alone. Amen. I know some of you right now going, oh, Lord, this is not where I wanted to be today. But guys, listen to me. Don't let things like that become an idol. We got to get grounded in His Word. We can't use the Word of God to support some pet theory or our own ideas, but we got to follow the true teaching of the Word of God. We got to make it a straight pattern for life. You see, as a pastor, I believe I got to have four things going on with me. First, I got to know the Word. Second, I got to apply it to my own life. Third, I got to diligently study it in order to teach it. And fourth, I got to teach it correctly so people will understand it. Hymenaeus and Philetus that was spoken of in the Word here, they went off on their own way. They started teaching stuff that wasn't in God's Word, wasn't part of God's plan. They were teaching that the resurrection's already come. You're not going to resurrect. You're not going to be with your family. It's already happened. That's foolishness. But people were listening to them. And guess what? People are listening to people in the world today about that. About that. Guys, this command does not just apply to pastors. The command to get grounded in God's Word and show yourself approved, a workman, unashamed by studying the Word of God. That's everybody's command. But guess what? I think some people think it's just the preacher's job to study. It's just the preacher's job to get grounded in the Word. It's just the preacher's job to understand Scripture. Folks, you better prepare yourself because we live in a tough world out here. Amen. We live in a world that wants to tear you apart, bring you down, push you down, step on you. They're not here to uplift you. This is where you get your uplifting. This is where you get your confidence. This is where you get your faith. Amen. If you're not spending time in the Word, you're spending time outside of the will of God. Because He wants you in His Word. How do you learn about anything? How did you learn about things in life when you were growing up? You studied them, right? You listened to people. You looked at things. That's how we know about God. We don't know about God. I mean, if somebody just said, hey, I want you to serve God the rest of your life. Well, that sounds good on the surface, amen. But how are we going to know about Him? We got to get in His Word and study it and learn and understand. We can't just go through life fumbling around. You know, we're either approved workers or ashamed believers is the way I look at it. Either you're going to be an approved workman or you're going to be an ashamed believer. An ashamed believer is somebody who's weak because he doesn't know the word and he's tossed back and forth and always following the latest fad. They're gullible people. They'll fall for anything. I believe if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. I mean, if you don't stand on the word of God, you're going to fall in one of the devil's traps going along in your life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You got to be unashamed. You know, some people I think are ashamed of God when they get put out in a situation where they could really stand up for Christ. What do they do a lot of times? They're like, oh, Lord, I'm just not ready for this. I'm just not going to say anything, and I'll go home, and I'll get prepared the next time, and I'll come back, and I'll say something the next time. Well, guys, do you realize God may have ordained that moment in your life for you to say something to somebody on behalf of him, and you put it aside? That person could have went in and got in their car and got killed going home. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the time that God puts people together? Make no mistake, as far as the connection we have here, that's all God's doing. Right. Yeah, I knew Rodney from the time he was, in middle school. And, I'm going to be honest with you. When I got to know his kids and they told me that he was doing drugs and stuff, it broke my heart to hear about it. Because I always thought Rodney was a great young man. But see, God had a bigger plan. Amen. God had a bigger plan, and who knew that in the year 2016 I'd get reconnected from somebody that I hadn't seen probably in 15, 20 years. But God had a plan. But guess what? If I hadn't been willing to help execute his plan, there would have been a lot of gray areas here that might not have happened the way they did. And I'm not tooting my horn by any means, but let me tell you one thing. I'm an approved workman. I'm not ashamed of what I do for the King. Amen. I'm not ashamed of what I go out and do. I'm not ashamed to witness to somebody. I'm not ashamed to get somebody down over in the corner and say, hey, man, I'm here to help you. I'm here to build you up. I'm not here to tear you down. And guess what? God's going to continue to channel blessings down when you're grounded in the word and when you've shown yourself approved as a workman for him. Amen. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. We don't have enough workmen. Amen. The fields are ripe, but the workers are few. We just don't have enough workers. We got people that want to do a little bit here and a little bit there. They'll say, oh, well, I'll contribute to this fund or that fund. Guys, don't get me wrong. We need that, but we need workers. Amen. We need people who are willing to roll their sleeves up. Get in the word. Learn the word. Share the word. Amen. Amen. If I'm getting a little bit excited, because I am. I'm excited about serving a risen Savior, amen. I'm excited about a God who blesses me every day. And let me tell you something, it's not always a blessing of this sort. Hold on, I'm getting it. It's not always about blessing your wallet, amen. See, we think, oh, God's not blessed me, I'm struggling, I don't have enough money. Did you pay your bills? Yeah, well, you've been blessed. Have you got a roof over your head? Yes, well, you've been blessed. Do you have clothes on today? I don't see anybody naked. You've been blessed. Amen. Amen. Did you drive over here in some vehicle? It might not have been your own, but you got here somehow. Amen. You've been blessed. Amen. So see, we've been blessed in ways we don't even think of as being blessings. Because we're so used to blessings automatically channeling into money and material possessions. God's already told us he's going to bless us. If we follow him and we put him first in our lives, our needs are going to be met. I've never gone without a meal in my life as long as I've been a born-again believer. Amen. I've never gone without a roof over my head as long as I've been a born-again believer. Now, when Rodney gave his testimony, he said they were homeless a while. You know why? They weren't in the will of God. If you're in the will of God, you will not be out on the streets. Somebody's going to take care of you. Amen. Woo! I tell you what, we serve an awesome God. Yes. One who wants to bless you each and every day of your life. And he does. We just don't think of it as being blessings sometimes. The second thing I believe, and guys, it's going to be a two-part sermon, by the way. Amen. I spent the whole, that's only point number one right there. Amen. So I'm going to bring the rest of it next week, but I'm going to go at least to point number two here. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. I don't know about you. I don't know how many years the Lord's going to bless me with left on this earth. I hope he gives me many more. But I want to make the most of what he gives me. Amen. Do you realize some people God has given 70, 80, 90 years of life already? What have you done for the kingdom? What have you done to get blessed? When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? When's the last time you really got excited about serving Jesus? I mean, that's what it's about, guys. If you can't get excited, man, I'm more excited about Jesus right now than I was last week even. Amen. That's the way it's got to be. You got to be excited about serving Him. The second thing I believe you got to be in order to be blessed and live a blessed life, you got to be confident in God's ability. You got to be confident in God's ability. I mean, we like to micromanage, don't we? We got to be confident that God is who He is and He can do what He says He can do and that He will do what He says He's going to do. We just got to believe that. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Thank God for water. Amen. Ah, yeah, that's good. Amen. That'll give me at least 35, 40 more minutes. Amen. All right. But let me tell you something, guys. Look at what that verse says. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Does God know you're His right now? How does He know that? Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. You don't get to heaven. You don't get saved by just thinking it in your mind. Salvation comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Through the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You got to confess that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You see, some people are not preaching that. They're going to churches every Sunday where salvation's never really hit on that much. It's just this feel-good thing that, hey, if you're a good enough person, you're going to get to heaven someday. You don't get to heaven except by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's the only way it's going to happen. That's the only way it's going to happen. So you got to be confident in God's ability. God knows who His children are. We have already been preordained from the beginning. Isn't that crazy to think about? God already knew that Rodney was going to get saved just a few weeks ago from the beginning. We didn't know that. Wouldn't it be nice sometimes to just know what God's thinking ahead of time? Would it really make a difference in some people's lives? Would some people really change the way they are if they knew what was going to happen tomorrow? Or if they knew what was going to happen a week from now or a month from now or a year from now? Would it really matter? I don't think it would in some people's lives, to be honest with you. But guys, I'm going to tell you one thing. I say this a lot. It's not about where you come from. It's about where you're going, amen? If you're going in the right direction, you're going down that narrow path, you're doing what God's leading you to do, you're going to expect those blessings are going to continue to come in your life. That's not going to be without heartache. That's not going to be without trials. Because guess what? That's part of the life of a believer. Guys, I'm going to share something with you. You can't expect to get off easier than Jesus did. Now, I'm not saying we're going to face the physical abuse that Jesus faced right before He got crucified, but I'm going to tell you one thing. We're going to face trials. We're going to face troubles in life, but God knows His children. Verse 19 says that. He knows us. He's going to take care of us. But look at what the last part of that says. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means unrighteousness, by the way. Guys, you see how God's word all ties up, how sermons tie together. I spent a month talking about living in darkness versus living in light. Now we're right back at it again. I can't get it out of the scripture because it's in it. It's in it throughout the scripture, talking about living a righteous life, staying in the light, staying out of darkness. You can't escape that. That's just part of God's word. We got to get rid of that. We got to be confident in God's ability. Guys, we live in days of enormous moral, spiritual, and cultural confusion. At no point in my life have I ever seen the world any more messed up than it is today. Amen? If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
This world is in a mess. And guess what? The very people that could be stepping up and helping get it corrected are sitting back not saying anything. I'm talking about godly people who sit back and do nothing but complain. Guys, are you on your knees every night praying for this country? Are you on your knees praying for God to intervene in the hearts and minds of people who are in charge of making decisions here? Or are we simply just saying, oh, that person's terrible. I can't vote for that candidate. I can't vote for this candidate. Listen to me. I hate to tell you some news here, but one of the two of them is going to win. Amen.
Yeah.
So we better get to praying that God will step in and will help get this situation headed in the right direction, because somebody's going to win between the two candidates we got. It ain't going to just suddenly disappear and say, oh, well, we made a mistake. We're going to start the whole process over. Let's have a new set of people going to run. Come on, step up to the plate. It ain't going to happen. We're going to have one of the two candidates get elected as president. That's going to happen. But guys, what are we doing? What are we doing in this world of confusion that we live in to try to help the problem? You know, those two that were mentioned in the word, Hymenaeus and Philetus, seem to be everywhere in the world, don't they? People who are casting doubt about what God's word says. The Bible's very clear on that, guys. Let me tell you something. To be blessed, you got to be grounded in the word. You got to be confident in God's ability. Let me tell you something. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? It does not change. We're the one that changes this. We're the ones that have come. And you know what's the shame of it all? We actually have churches that are doing unethical and immoral things within the confines of the church. God's word clearly says it's wrong, but they just bend it around to say, well, I don't know that God really meant that. Let me tell you what, I serve a God that says what he means and means what he says. Amen. And if you serve one other than that, then I hope I can get through to you at some point in time, because my God says, this is my word, and you live by it, you're going to live a blessed life. Amen. You follow it, you're going to live a blessed life. But guys, I'm telling you what, we live in a day and age where people are claiming to be Christians. They claim to follow the Lord. They claim to be true to their faith. But by their words, their deeds, their actions, they deny the very truth they claim to uphold. They're denying it. Y'all be careful. I see stuff flying out of my mouth here right now. Amen. Y'all are in the danger zone right there. Let me get another taste of that water. Amen. You know, I just got to say something real quick. I know some people yesterday were disappointed that we didn't get a big, hard, heavy rain. But you know what? I believe God gave us a little bit of it just to see how we're going to respond. Amen. And for those of us that said, God, that wasn't enough, we might not see any more for another month. Amen. You know, Elijah prayed that it not rain, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain on the earth. Could you imagine 3.5 years with no rain? We've just had a month or two, amen? So, hey, God knows what's going on. I believe he's just waiting for his people to give him credit for being confident in his ability, which was point number two I'm talking about here. God knows what he's doing. I mean, we're going to get it. Trust me, it's coming. Amen? Amen. You know, this verse reminds us that the church doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And even in the worst times, the Lord knows his own children. No matter how tough your life is, no matter how broken your life is, Jesus Christ can fix your life. Amen. He can fix anything that's wrong with you. He can repair that house that seems to be falling in, that house that's your body and your life and your world. He can fix it. You know why? Because he's already paid the price. Amen. He's already went to Calvary. He's already died. He's already defeated Satan. Yes. We don't have anything to be worried about. Guess what, guys? If you're a born-again believer, and I was talking to Cody about this the other day. I was like, you know what, son? I'm not working necessarily. We were talking about blessings. This is one of the things that gave me the idea for this sermon this week. I told him something that kind of stunned him for a second. I was like, you know what, buddy? We're not working for blessings that we're going to get here on this earth. If you're a born-again believer, you ought to be working for what you're going to get in eternity. Amen. Amen. See, that's what's important. It's not about what you get blessed with here on this earth. But see, God's going to bless you even there if you're following him. But what we ought to be thinking about is, you know what, Lord? That was kind of tough on me. That was kind of a rough road. But guess what? I'm just trying to keep earning some jewels for my crown. I'm still trying to think about the bigger picture here. I'm not worried about what I do and don't have here. I'm concerned about what I'm going to have when I get up there with you. So when you keep your focus on that, you don't get so concerned about missing out on this and missing out on that. Because I'm going to tell you what, I've been a blessed man. Amen. If you've been blessed, raise your hand. I mean, everybody in this house ought to raise their hand up here and say that, because you have. You have. There's not a one of you in here right now that God hadn't done something to bless you in your life. Bless you with great kids. Bless you with godly parents. Bless you with people that have poured into your life, that love you and care about you. You've been blessed. You see, there's a lot of people that go through their lives, they don't have that. And you know, I kind of believe that that's part of my calling, is to just pour into lives whenever they need pouring into. Amen. And not being worried about who they are or where they came from. I don't, when somebody comes to me and has a problem, I don't first ask them, well, what sort of socioeconomic background do you come from? I don't want anything for it. I just want to help. Amen. And until you get that attitude about you, you're not going to get blessed. If you think everything's got a dollar sign attached to it, you're missing the boat. Amen. Some of life's greatest blessings don't have any dollar signs attached to them. I want you to understand that. Because I'm going to tell you something. We serve an awesome God. And I'm going to say that again. We serve a God that gives us way more than we deserve. Let's put it that way. We deserve to have taken Jesus' place and died instead of him. Amen. Can I get a witness? We should have been the ones that took his place. Instead, he loved us enough. He said, no, you know what? I'm going to send a part of me down here to earth, and I'm going to have a once and for all payment for the sin of man. So all they got to do is call on the name of the Lord, and they're going to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus? How many of you glad Jesus did that for you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because you know what? If he hadn't, we'd all be in bad shape. If he hadn't done that, I wouldn't need to be up here today, because there'd be no hope. In Jesus, there's always hope.
Yes.
I want you to understand that. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what kind of things you're battling. God is going to bless you. If you're his child, he's going to continue to bless you if you're being confident in his ability. The end of that little thing says this. That verse 19, it says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Guys, I'm telling you, we still got people that are dabbling in darkness. God's children are called to moral purity. They're called to depart from the wickedness of the world. You see, in the end, the children of God are never going to be comfortable living in sin. If you're a child of God, you cannot be comfortable living in sin. You might slip over into it a little bit, but it's not going to be a comfort zone for you. If it is, guess what? You're in darkness. I've been trying to say that. And Cody finally said, you know what, Dad, I was a little concerned about you just harping on this darkness thing, but I see now why you got to preach about it. Because we live in a world of darkness. We're the only light that the world has. Do you realize that? Those of us that are born again believers. In the end, the children of God are never going to be comfortable living in sin. They're called to something higher and better, and deep inside, they want to truly serve the Lord and depart from wickedness.
Yes.
That ought to be your desire. If that's not your desire, if it's not your desire to serve God with all your heart and soul and being, then you're serving the wrong master. Okay? You're serving the wrong master. All of this is meant to increase our confidence in God's ability. That's why even in days of moral decline, the Lord says, nevertheless, do false teachers seem to abound? The Lord says, nevertheless. Are perilous times upon us? The Lord says, nevertheless. Do we fear for the future? The Lord says, nevertheless. Are we worried for our children's safety? The Lord says, nevertheless. Do we see some falling away from the faith? The Lord says, nevertheless. Are we tempted to despair? The Lord says, nevertheless. Could persecution come to us? The Lord says, nevertheless. Do evildoers rise to power? The Lord says, nevertheless. In other words, nevertheless, even though these things are going to come, I'm going to be with you.
Amen.
I'm going to give you the strength to overcome these. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Amen.
Amen.
I know the secret. I know the rest of the story. Aren't you glad that God knows ahead what's going to happen? We don't. We're working from the present. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. We don't know what's happening 10 minutes from now. But we serve a God that already has our life mapped out. He's already got it set up for us. God's still in control because the solid foundation stands firm. God's church is built on the solid rock.
Amen.
And that rock is Jesus Christ our Lord, and he is the cornerstone of our faith.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. He's the cornerstone of our faith.
Yes.
He is the rock. He is the one the builders rejected. But guess what? He put that cornerstone right there for us. Man, fear not, child of God. Don't grieve in despair, because God's still on the throne. Amen.
Amen.
He's still on the throne. The Lord's on the throne. He's not going to be moved. Those who trust him will be safe forever.
Yes.
You're going to be safe. You might think, well, I feel scared. Well, that's because the devil's trying to get you to feel that way. Amen. We ought not have a spirit of fear. We ought to have a spirit of confidence. Why? If we are a born-again believer in Christ, God is going to give you that spirit of confidence. He's going to give you that spirit of confidence. If we're going to be used by God, we got to be so grounded in the Word, we won't be swept away in days of spiritual confusion like we live in today. Guys, it could be easy for somebody to be swept away. You know why the Mormons are gaining a foothold in the United States? You know why the Jehovah's Witnesses are getting people to believe in their doctrine? Because they're out working. They're out convincing people that their way is the right way. Now, I'm not condoning their religion by any means because it's wrong, but we're sitting back not doing anything to bring up the Word of God, to move the kingdom forward. We sit around going, oh, it's those Jehovah's Witnesses again. Turn the dog loose, amen. I mean, that's the attitude we have, but let me tell you something. If we had the zeal that they had, we'd be reaching believers right now. We'd be making believers and helping people to find the real true saving grace, and that's Jesus. We don't do that. These people are working with a zeal. They got a mission in mind. Even though it's the wrong mission, they're going about it the right way. If we'd do the same thing, wow. Think of what would happen here. Now, guys, I'm thrilled. This church is close to full here today. But guess what it could be? We could be up in the balcony right now. If we'll get busy, if we'll realize, God, I want to keep being blessed by you. I'm going to keep serving you. And that's what we got to do, guys. We got to have our confidence fixed firmly on the Lord, whose purposes will not fail. Guys, we serve an awesome God. I'm going to bring part two of this next week. I'm going to just tell you this, though. I'm going to be point blank honest with you. You know, there's times where I get discouraged. And I shouldn't, because I serve an awesome God who tells me not to get discouraged. But you know what? When I hear testimonies like this, and when I see the hand of God at work in families, I know we serve an awesome God. And I know He's here. And I know He's not going to abandon me and leave me. So I don't care what I got to go through. God, if you don't bless me with any kind of monetary blessings the rest of my life, as long as my salvation is signed, sealed, and delivered, I'm okay with that, amen? That's all I need. That's all I need in this world to survive. That's all any of you need. Guys, I want to encourage you. I believe there's some people here that are still hanging on to your worldly values. You're still hanging on. You're not willing to take that step of faith, come down this aisle, and make the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Am I lying, Rodney? Am I lying, guys? That's the greatest decision you'll ever make. The decision to serve Jesus. Amen. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. You can't be strong-armed into it. Just like Rodney said, I never threatened him. I never said, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. Come on, boy. You know, that's the way some preachers are, but that's not me. Because I'm going to tell you what. Those preachers are helping send a lot of people to hell. Amen. You know why? Because they're scaring people into coming down an aisle and accepting the Jesus that they don't know, that is not in their heart, because it was not put in their heart to come and do that. They were just scared into it and strong-armed into it. Guys, you got to want Jesus. If you want Him, He's there. If you want Him, He'll make a difference. If you want Him, He'll get rid of your addiction. I can promise you that right now. But you got to want it. Guys, we're fixing to open up these altars here. I believe there's some people need to come and pray. If you don't have anything else to pray for this country. Pray for the false prophecy that's being spewed out right now as we speak in churches all across America right now today. Pray for this pastor. I need your prayers. I'll go ahead and tell you. I'm not ashamed to say I need prayer. But pray for somebody. Maybe you need to come up here and say, you know what, Lord, I haven't been grounded in your word as much as I should. You know what? I have been putting more time in this than I've been putting in studying your word. I've been letting this become an idol in my life instead of being a tool that I could reach out to people with. Now, if you're using this thing and texting them and sharing and witnessing to them, then you keep right on doing it. But if all this is a social hub for you and you're getting out of God's word, guess what? The devil's going to come knocking any minute. If he hadn't already, he's going to pull you even farther away. So find that happy medium. Find that time for you to get ground in the Word. We're going to bring the second half of this next week on keys to a blessed life, because there's a couple more that I want to share with you. But guys, man, God loves us. Amen. Jesus loves us. I hope you understand that. I hope you don't think I'm just up here ranting and raving every week for myself, because it's not about me. It's about serving Him, amen. It's about sharing the word so that everybody, I'd like to see everybody in this room one day on those streets of gold, amen. I'd like to see every one of you one day. We'll all be reunited. We'll all rekindle our friendships. But guys, it's only going to happen one way, and that's through the cross and through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way to salvation. There is no other way. So as we stand and sing our closing hymn now, I want you to be thinking about this. Maybe you know somebody that you've been praying for God to move in their life and for the Holy Spirit of God to convict into salvation. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. There's power in prayer. We got living proof of it right here. Here's a man who his friends can't even believe who he is. Got his job back. And guess what? He didn't tell you this part. He told me this morning. On his job, there's a guy who's a recovering alcoholic there with him who's working close with him now. You don't think that wasn't God's work? God put the whole thing together. He orchestrated the whole thing. And I'm excited about what he's going to keep doing here in the life of this church. Guys, we just got to believe. And I want to end with this note. This is going to be my saying, so to speak, from here on out. Yes. Bad company corrupts good character. Amen. You remember that. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, what an awesome day it's been. God, I thank you for that testimony. Lord, I just pray you'll continue to work in Rodney's life and his children's lives. And God, no matter how tough it might seem right now, no matter how things seem right now, God, you got a greater plan. Your plan is going to come to pass no matter what we think about and no matter how upset we get and concerned we get. God, you're going to see us through. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us during the tough times and watch over us and protect us. And Lord, help us to give thanks during the good and bad times, no matter what the situation is. In everything, Lord, help us to learn to give thanks. And Lord, I thank you for the blessings you've already poured out on everybody in this church today just by letting them be here. And Lord, for those of us that are born again believers, you've already given us the greatest blessing that anyone could ever have, and that's eternal life with you. God, I thank you for that. And Lord, I'm just praying now, if there's anybody that needs to come and lay something up here at this altar, Lord, get rid of that baggage, get rid of that stuff that's just hanging around your life, that you'll come up and you'll pray and seek forgiveness for that. And Lord, that I know you're going to be quick and just and willing to forgive us of our sins and restore us back unto righteousness. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to accept you as their Savior, Lord, I just pray the Holy Spirit of God will move in their life. Lord, that they'll come. Lord, because there's only one sin that will never be forgiven of, and that's the sin of rejecting you. Father, I just pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? Hymn 436. Let's stand and sing hymn number 436. You come to this altar if you feel led to today.